ஸ்தூல காமவிபாங்க சூத்த த ஷோர்ட் அனாலிசிஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன். ஐ ஹவ் ஹர்ட் தட் ஆன் ஒன் ஒகேஷன் த பிளெஸட் ஒன் வாஸ் ஸ்டேயிங் நியர் சாவத்தி இன் ஜேதஸ் க்ரோவ் அநாத பிண்டிகஸ் மொனஸ்ட்ரி. தென் சூபர் த யங் மேன் தோதேய சன் வென் டு த பிளெஸட் ஒன் அண்ட் ஒன் அரைவல் எக்ஸ்சேஞ்ச் கர்டிஸ் கிரீட்டிங்ஸ் வித் ஹிம். ஆஃப்டர் அன் எக்ஸ்சேஞ்ச் ஆஃப் ஃப்ரெண்ட்லி கிரீட்டிங்ஸ் அண்ட் கர்டிசிஸ் ஹி செட் to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, Master Gautama, what is the reason, what is the cause, why baseness and excellence are seen among human beings, among human race? For short-lived and long-lived, people are to be seen, sickly and healthy, ugly and beautiful, uninfluential and influential, poor and rich, low-born and high-born, stupid and discerning, people are to be seen. So what is the reason, what is the cause, why baseness and excellence are seen among human beings, among the human race? So why people, you know, that different in the sense, some are stupid, some are wise, some are beautiful, some are ugly, and short-lived, long-lived. So what's the cause, what's the reason? Young man, beings are owners of karma, heir to karma, born of karma, related through karma, and have karma as their arbitrator. Karma is what creates distinction among beings in terms of coarseness and refinement. Buddha said that karma dayada, karma yoni, karma bandhu, karma patisarana. So those four things, karma dayada, and that is heir to the karma, karma yoni, born of karma, karma bandhu, related through karma, and karma patisarana, have karma as their arbitrator. I don't understand the detailed meaning of most Master Gautama's statement spoken in brief. Without explaining the detailed meaning, it would be good if Master Gautama taught me the Dhamma so that I might understand the detailed meaning of his brief statement. So first we look at what this karma is before we go into the further into the discourse. So, the Nibbedika Sutta, Buddha explained this karma, over there Buddha is saying, because it was said, action should be known. Karma is action, so yeah. The origin and arising of action should be known. The differences of action should be known. The results of action should be known. The cessation of action should be known. The path leading to the cessation of action should be known. And Buddha explained these things. So, because intention, I say, is action. Having intended, one does action by body, speech and mind. Chetana bhikkave kammam vadami. So, chetana is the intention or volition, is the kamma. And because what is the origin and arising of actions? Because contact is the origin and arising of action. If there is no contact, there won't be any volition. Volition occurs because of that. So karma comes from the contact. And because what are the differences of actions? Because there are actions with hellish feeling, beastly feeling, ghostly feeling, human feeling and heavenly feelings. So that feeling that we get in the hell, so these are the differences. So hellish feeling, Buddha said that, you know, it is so different. And beastly feeling, you know, the animals feeling, they have so much fear. So with that fear, their feeling is different. And then the ghostly feeling, ghost also has got this feeling. And humans have got their own feeling, so we got pleasure, displeasure, things. In the hell it is completely painful. And there is this heavenly feeling. And in heaven, that if you get Subhakinna Deva, the third jhana realm, they are completely pleasurable. No displeasure at all. So those are the differences of actions.
Then in Pantipada's Kandalog, it has explained that feeling, you have only three kind of feeling. Pleasure, pleasurable feeling, unpleasurable feeling, and nice pleasurable, non-pleasurable feeling. And why it doesn't apply to subha-kinna?
Normally, anyone get those three kind of feelings. But the subha-kinna world, there's no displeasure. Because they live on completely loving kindness. So they,
I thought those Panchapatanas Kanta is relevant to everywhere.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that if you go into the seventh jhana realm, for example, and that you are actually living with the perception, no feeling sort of thing is not significant at all. Feeling is. So they have gone beyond the feeling level in that sense.
But the beings who are born there, but they get the sicknesses and all these things too. What's about the?
Well, we do not know the sickness in those worlds. They are aging sort of things, cannot be said as well. And that they at the last moments or last time, there is this changes. Even the divine worlds, that Buddha said that. When they are about to die or something, they are the clothes and sort of getting dirty sort of thing. And no such aging can be seen in those worlds.
Maybe it's a very short period
yeah, of that unhappiness is there by the time passing. So, but they, when Buddha said that they is entirely pleasurable, that means that they live for, let's say, 500,000 whatever they are living eons, six sort of I can't remember exactly how many thousands of eons. So they live on that eon for that much pleasure. So maybe the last moment or last time they would have had a displeasure because I am going to pass away now or something like that. So,
and again, theoretically, to survive in that world, so pleasure should be there.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Mm. So if the pleasure, when the pleasure ceases, so that person should go from there.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that the Panchabhadana Skanda does not apply there. It is sort of suppressed for the entire duration of that.
Lord Tathagata Maharshi is explaining here, in different world, the pressure, displeasure, and the mind pressure, non-pressure, is different in different worlds.
Yeah.
For example, in the hell, is completely different. There is no pressure over there, probably.
No pressure.
And but still some sort of pressure, that means, I don't know, some sort of small pressure.
Well, maybe the punishment is no longer, so therefore they are happy because I don't have the punishment, but still I'm in the hell, so I'm not happy.
Yeah, that is why I think probably I got the point.
Mm. So when we talk about the intention, so here, and then Buddha went on describing the results of actions as well, karma. And because the results of actions are threefold, either here and now. So we get the karma and the karma effect right now. Dittevadama. Or in the next birth. Or in the subsequent birth. So it can come to an effect in this one or the later on. And the cessation of actions. Because the cessation of contact is the cessation of actions. So if there is no contact, there is no actions or volitions or karma. The same Noble Eightfold Path is the path of cessation of actions. Such as right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So that's the path leading to that one. So when we talk about the intention or the chetana, chetana is karma. So chetana, let's say this, chetana is, I'm connected, is with sensual desires. Let's say that there's some kind of a food or something. So it's, you can see this, if I eat it, then I get the sensual pleasure. And so when I'm eating means that I'm using it, bhavito. And I remain holding to it, that same thing, that I ate today, I'm happy, and I want to eat tomorrow or day after tomorrow. So I'm remain holding to it. So when that is Chetana, if someone defining the Chetana in another way, it is the sensual desire, associated with sensual desire, and using it, and remain holding to it. It doesn't mean every intention as such, but mostly that the intentions we are talking about are associated with those things. So you get the intentions that I am going to the jhana concentration, the good ones, so there are good ones, apart from the sensual pleasure as well. Because this Chetana is, you know, according to Abhidhamma, this there are these universals, what they call. That means it appears in every consciousness movement. The contact is one. The feeling is another. Perception is another. Volition is another. Right? The faculty of life is another. So those things are appearing in every conscious movement. So when I see, hear, think and all those things, so the volition is there. The concentration is there as well, ekagata. So those sevens are there. Now, when they are associated with the other ones, like okay, I got these seven, but then at that particular time, I have some lustful things. So you can see that the volition also changing accordingly. So if someone asks what is volition, you can explain in terms of sensual desires, the associated with sensual desire, and then the using of whatever thing it is, and remain holding to it. So you can see it's a craving. The craving strongly held is the intention, volition. So now we have a bit of understanding about the volition. And so Buddha is now explaining this one in detail. In that case, young man, listen and pay close attention, I will speak. As you say, Master Gautama, Subha, the young man responded. The Blessed One said, there is the case, young man, where a woman or a man is a killer of living beings, brutal, bloody-handed, given to killing and slaying, showing no mercy to living beings. Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he she reappear in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, the lower realms, hell. If on the breakup of the body after death, instead of reappearing in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, lower realms and hell, he she come to the human state, then he she is short-lived. Wherever reborn, this is the way leading to a short life. To be a killer of living being, brutal, bloody-handed, giving to killing and slaying, slowing no mercy to living beings. So normally you go to hell, but sometimes you escape. When you escape, born in the human world, then life is short. See that, so Buddha said, having adopted and carried out. That means now this person who is killing, he used to killing. He is happy with the killing. So what is he actually taking out from that person who is actually living? His life. So making his life shorter. So my consciousness, if I am doing such a thing, my consciousness is happy on such occasion. My consciousness is binding to that instance where the taking his life is fine. So when I reconstruct my consciousness, we reconstruct it with the short life. Because that consciousness is hold on to those things. So it's not someone is doing it. Because I'm taking other people's ones out, means that I'm also happy to have shorter life. Although we think, oh, I want to live, the other person let him die, but the consciousness works differently. But then there is the case where a woman or a man, having abandoned the killing of living beings, abstains from killing living beings and dwells with the rod laid down, the knife laid down, merciful and sympathetic for the welfare of all living beings, through having adopted and carried out such action on the breakup of the body, After death, he, she reappear in a good destination in the heavenly world. If, on the breakup of the body, after death, instead of reappearing in a good destination in the heavenly world, he, she come to the human state, then he, she is long-lived, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to the long life, to have abandoned killing of living beings, to abstain from killing living beings, to dwell with one's rod laid down and knife laid down, scrupulous, merciful and sympathetic for the welfare of all living beings. So that means that this person thing is not killing and abandon the killing. So the consciousness is now actually maintaining that way. So that lead to the good thing. And if we go further about this, these things are really important. We were not paying that much attention before. Killing, what it leads to? Killing leads to hatred, dosa. If I kill, then I have this hatred. If I have the hatred, then I am happy to kill, that sort of thing, right? It goes both ways. And now, there is this connection, these things, to the Eightfold Path as well. In the Middle Length saying, there's a discourse, 35th discourse, I think. Buddha said that, I will read that paragraph first. This is Mahasatchaka Sutta, 36th discourse. That discourse is talking about the development of the body and the development of the mind. So this Agyavasana was talking about the development of the body and the development of the mind. Buddha said that this is not the RN1. RN1 is different. And in this paragraph, Buddha explained, and how does there come to be Agyavasana, one who is both developed as to body and developed as to mind. The body and the mind, right? As to this Agyavasana, pleasurable feeling arises in an instructed disciple of the RN. He, being assailed by the pleasurable feeling, does not become addicted to pleasure, nor does he fall into addiction to pleasures. So he got the pleasure, is not going to get addicted to that one. If that pleasurable feeling of his is stopped and painful feeling arises, whenever the pleasure ceases, what we get is pain. Painful feeling, feeling arises from the stopping of that pleasurable feeling. He, being assailed by the painful feeling, does not grieve, mourn, lament. He does not beat his breast. Normally, that, you know, the people, some people buy things, stock market or whatever thing, it is fallen, and then they, you know, jump out of windows as well. It is that bad. This pleasurable feeling, Agyavasana, that has arisen in him, impinging on his mind, does not persist because of the development of the body. It's not this physical body we are talking about. What is this development of the body? It is the, in the Eightfold Path, the right action and the right livelihood. Right action and the right livelihood is the development of the body.
But why you said that pleasure ceased?
Pleasure ceased. Let's say you bought something, yeah. Stock market values or something, right? Now you are happy, I got a gain or something. Next, because it went up. Next day, it went completely down. So, since that one went down, I'm really unhappy now.
Yeah.
Because I lost that one. But that particular feeling, the displeasure, persists impinging the mind. Oh, I lost that one. Oh, I lost that one. It keeps coming because of the non-development of the mind. Body is not the physical body. That means you are not killing. You are not stealing. You are not having sexual misconduct. You have the right livelihood. So you don't have that sort of feeling coming in the first place. Even they come, it does not persist. What is coming up at that time is sort of a displeasure that impinges in the mind all the time. It keeps coming back to the same, it's looping, right? If you are not, for example, Buddha said, if someone is coming and cut his arm, no anger, because it's up to that level. Whenever something happens to us, we have trained our mind, if we hit, I hit, If they blame me, I'll blame them back. I'll fight it back, right?
I mean that the non-development body or the skill status, isn't it?
Now there's another thing. You see, then Buddha said, the pleasurable feeling aggression that has arisen in him, impinging on the mind, does not persist because of the development of the body. And the painful feeling that has arisen impinging on the mind does not persist because of the development of the mind. If the mind has been developed, it does not persist. So, chitta. So both go on. That is, they're going through the Eightfold Path. You see that a little while ago we were talking about the how to cease this karma, the cessation, path leading to cessation of karma is the Eightfold Path. It is completely in that the sila part, virtue part, and then the development part, the body part over there, and then the right thought, thought of non-harming, thought of non-malevolence, all those things. So
that's for the reason I think for one action. If there are five people here,
yeah,
the five people get a all five different karma for that because they react in
differently. Yes, there is the case where a woman or man is one who harms beings with her fist, with clods, with sticks, or with knives. Those having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body, after death, he/she reappear in the plane of deprivation. If instead he/she come to the human state, then he/she is sickly, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to sickness. To be one who harms being with one's fist, with cords and sticks, or with knives. So if we harm, that means that we become sick. Because we are actually happy with that the other people's person's sickness. So
then how can you explain that sometimes people get sick at the same time if there is a person who is sick all the time but really good with other qualities, you know, like
those things former karma is coming up. And then you see what you see is what he is actually doing good now. What he has done before, you do not know how bad he has been. Having known that those bad things somehow, now he is behaving, maybe afraid of the going to hell. So, yeah, because the karma is not a simple subject. It's only the Buddha can actually analyze this thing. So harming leading to this delusion as well, moha. But then there is the case where a woman or a man is not one who harms being with her fist, with clods, with sticks, or with knives. Those having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he/she reappears in a good destination. If instead he/she comes to the human state, then he/she is healthy, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to health. Not to be one who harms being with one's fist, clod, sticks, with knives. Not harming is that health.
Well, I have one more question. Because if a person who didn't do harm to other animals and all these cruel things, and in the very latest previous birth, I mean just the previous one, and then could that person, because it's a very, to this birth, that's the closest one, and can that person carry on that good qualities with the next life too? This present one.
Yeah.
And a person who did live like that in the previous birth, could that person do a lot of killing and all these things in this world?
Well, it depends. It depends on the mindset, you know, how they actually, you know, if you have a bad companion, then one can do the, although you did good things before, but then there is this bad companion, what you see is the often killing and that one, so then you think, well, let's say if there's no Buddha, right, there's no Dhamma, and you don't hear these good things. This is the most, you know, difficult era when there is no Buddha. So, because there is no law. So people can do whatever thing they want. And they go on killing, and if whatever thing other people are doing, they are doing. So they, most of them go to hell. So it's the good company. If you are living in a society where no one is killing others, no one harming other ones, then you actually look at it and I haven't got any cause for me to, any reason for me to harm anyone or do that, because they are not harming me. And why would I harm others? But if you are, maybe you're a good person, but then things change, and then yeah, you think, oh, okay, this is the way to live. First you probably have sort of a reaction to it, oh, I should not be doing this one, and then the others are keep on doing it, then yeah, so it's a change.
And the result of karma is not necessarily the same sort of size as the original thing, so it talks about, you know, thousands, millions, billions of years in hell for doing some fairly small act or series of acts in a single night.
No. They are proportionate. They are proportionate in that sense. It says, if you go, you are going to hell, not just simple thing. Let's say you are killing, you keep on killing, sort of thing. Buddha said this one in another discourse. Where you can go to hell because of, at that particular time, you also die. You have strong sensual desire or killing or that sort of thing. By that time you die, then there's a strong probability that you go into hell. But doesn't mean that you are there for ever. It is that there were case, one person, was there for 7 days. Only 7 days in the hell. So it's not, you can't say it is not proportionate. It is proportionate in that respect. And even the akusal or the unskilled state, so here we are talking about that killing is an unskilled state. They are small. But if you do meritorious things, skill things, they are really big. That's why the skill states can be shared. You see, if you give a dana to a monk or you do good things and you can share with others, let you also have, you know, the anumodan, you know, then also share this merit. Because
can
the merit is big.
Say, if I do a good, meritorious thing, can I share with you?
Yes. But share in the sense that you come and tell. Sharing doesn't mean that you are sharing a piece of cake or something. You come and tell me, Lalit, I did this sort of really good thing. Won't I be happy when hearing?
That's true.
So that's the way I become happy. I get the meritorious thing. It's by hearing and looking at that.
Yeah. When we want to share merit with our dead relatives, our dead friends, that's the same as when we come and tell you?
Yeah. Like that. But there is one kind. There may be your relatives in a plane of departed world. Plane of departed is like a hungry ghost or type thing. They have a really big body, big stomach, and a tiny little mouth. And they are hungry. Some are hungry, some have different things. And their food is the only food that you give them. That is the merits. Unless you pass merits, they don't get. They are the only one who can consume and eat, like a food, eat it, in that sense. A preta, the plane of departed. Other ones, let's say you have a divine being as past relative, and that person, the divine being, when you actually invite, I'm giving this alms, giving or whatever thing it is, and come and visit me and sort of thing, and they come and they watch you do that one, and so they become happy, you know, my friend or my relative or doing this one, and so probably you may be mentioning his name as well, so they become more happy and that one. But that doesn't mean that they can actually get like the pain of departed people. They are like a being happy because they associate with this one, that they see it, they hear it, sort of thing. Like that another human being, sort of rejoice with what you have done. Yeah.
When they come like that at that time, can they see that the both things, that you are doing bad and good?
The divine beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they see that one, but probably they may be ignoring those bad things, and then they see that the good things, they take part in the... Because that most of the time the divine beings are coming at that right time.
Oh.
They come in the right time of this offering dana or that one, and they go back.
Mm.
They come, and when monks are preaching Dhamma, they hear, and then they go back. They don't hang on for what you are saying is gossip and type of thing, that after or before. Not before. Normally it is after. They are not hanging around. Yes. There is the case where a woman or man is ill-tempered and easily upset, even when lightly criticized. She grows offended, provoked, malicious, resentful, shows annoyance, aversion, and bitterness. This kodha, upayasa, kodha, ill-tempered, and upayasa is that easily upset. Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he/she reappear in the plane of deprivation. If instead he/she comes to the human state, then he/she is ugly, wherever born, reborn. This is the way leading to the ugliness, to be ill-tempered and easily upset, even when lightly criticized, to grow offended, provoked, malicious and resentful, to show annoyance, aversion and bitterness. If someone is getting angry at once, yeah, so the ugliness. But then there is the case where a woman or man is not still ill-tempered or easily upset. Even when heavily criticized, he/she does not grow offended, provoked, malicious or resentful, does not show annoyance, aversion or bitterness. Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he/she reappear in good destination. If instead he/she comes to the human state, then he/she is beautiful, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to the beauty, not to be ill-tempered or easily upset, even when heavily criticized, not to be offended, provoked, malicious, or resentful, nor to show annoyance, aversion, and bitterness. There is the case where a woman or a man is envious. He/she envies, begrudges, and broods about other gains, honor, respect, reverence, salutations, venerations. Though having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he/she reappear in the plane of deprivation. If instead he/she comes to the human state, then he/she is not influential, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to not being influential, to be envious, to envy, begrudge, and brood about others' gains, honor, respect, reverence, salvation, and veneration. So any person is actually not getting anything. Some people are saying the people who actually kill something, that person get the dead carcass, right? If you steal, then you get the whatever the thing is stolen, right? So what would the envious person get? Don't get anything, because he's only angry about the other person's development or anything like that one, or internally burning and all those things. And after death you can go to hell, sort of thing, but not even getting anything.
With hell again, it is correct that sometimes the amount of time spent in hell is extremely long, a lot longer than a life here, just as
Let's say you kill father, your father, mother, the blood shedding of the Buddha, or killing an arahant, that sort of thing. And the schism in Sangha, the order of the monks who break them, that sort of thing, going to that very bad realms like that, the Avicii. Remember I described that one, that is actually people are being born over there. It is burning. It's like this earth burning place. And it's really red hot. It's no material you can see. It's just the earth is burning like lava type thing. And so beings are born over there. As soon as they are being born, they just, you know, their body changed like a, you know, the piece of wood and gone. Again born over there. See that?
Yeah, but that's I think, but you're asking one life, whether there's a long life for one life, isn't it?
Yeah. So many times born in that way. So many eons, you know.
Maybe 100, 200 different or 1,000 different lives there, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So you are not getting out in that. Avicii is really bad. But the other ones also, you live for a long time. Even the Venerable Moggallana, one of his previous births, that he has been a Mara, Dusin Mara. And he was born in hell. And he was told that I can't remember, maybe some two sticks or something, they join from one place to another in the body, that is, you should count that one as 1,000 years in the hell. So he suffered many of those things. So thousands and thousands and, yeah. It's, so that means being a Mara, the evil one. Right, so, yeah, so, what we need to try to avoid is going there. That's what we need to avoid. So, while we have this Buddhism, we should use it and try to get out and not to go there. So, only guarantee is if someone becomes a stream enterer, you never go there. You will not be going there at all. But if you actually have faith about Buddha and sort of maintain these the good things, then you can avoid those things.
But that's temporary, isn't it?
It's temporary. The danger of that one is, let's say you do good things and be born in heavenly world, then you are safe until at least the next Buddha comes in. The bad part is, let's say even the next Buddha comes and you do not attend, after that one it will be really big time to the next Buddha comes. Now this is a fortunatio, and the it is because that human beings, you know, the lifespan starting from 10 go to 100,000 or more, and then again coming back to 10, right? So that's sort of a eon. And in that eon, so you can see sort of a graph like going up and like that on zigzagging 10 and going back. So when it is down like this, so there's a very small, you know, area where a Buddha is born. When the lifespan is quite a lot, human beings' lifespan is quite a lot, no Buddha arises in that time. So it's 80,000, sort of, if it is above 100,000, Buddhas won't come. It should be below that 100,000.
Because the reason is because suffering cannot be seen.
Cannot be seen because you live long, and that even in the 80,000 time, they have only four sickness.
Yeah.
The excrement, urinating, and then the thirst and hunger. So those are the four sickness. But those people at that time are really virtue, and all those things are there. So even the Buddha Sasana has got so many monks, you know, in one order, 100,000 arahants or something like that one. So
I think the longer the life, may be more suffering.
More suffering?
Suffering.
Well, it is depend on, you know, that if you think about even in the human world, if you are living in, you know, the place like Iraq or something where the bombardments and all those things are happening, you can see. And over here you will see, it's peaceful. So if you compare that one to over here, you can see the difference, right? So if you are living longer, that means you are actually living with pleasurable thing, pleasurable feeling, then you live longer. And it's not suffering that much. The mostly the suffering is that things like hell and, you know, really bad places. And if you are stable, live long, then you don't see much suffering because you are happy and live with that happiness. Even the human world, you can live for a long time without suffering, you know. But the danger is, when I pass away, would I get the same thing? Would I go to hell or animal realm or instability?
And again, why people do corrupt things in this era, I mean, the reason is they know that they are getting old quickly, they are getting, you know, getting closer to the death. That's why people try to get all this pleasure and everything at once.
Quickly.
Quickly. When you have many thousand years life, why did you have to struggle for that?
Yes,
you just
right.
know that it is
You
long.
Can wait.
Yeah.
You are not in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But then there is the case where a woman or a man is not envious. He, she does not envy, begrudges or brood about others' gains. Honor, respect, reverence, salvation, so veneration through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he, she reappears in good destination. If instead he, she comes to the human state, he, she is influential wherever reborn. This is the way leading to being influential, not to be envious. Not to envy, begrudges, or brood about others' gains, honor, respect, reverence, salvation, and veneration. There is the case where a woman or man is not a giver of food, drink, clothes, sandals, garlands, scents, ointment, beds, dwellings, lightened to priest or contemplatives. Through having adopted and carried out such actions, on the breakup of the body after death, he, she reappears in the plane of deprivation. If instead he, she comes to the human state, he, she is poor. Wherever reborn, this is the way leading to the poverty. Not to be a giver of food, drink, clothes, sandals, garlands, scents, ointment, beds, dwelling, or lighting, or priest to contemplatives. So if you are not giving, then we become poor. But then there is the case where a woman or a man is a giver of food, drink, clothes, sandals, scents, ointment, beds, dwellings, lighting to priest and contemplatives. Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he, she may be in a good destination. If instead he, she come to the human state, then he, she is wealthy wherever reborn. This is the way leading to the great wealth, to be giver of food, drink, clothes, sandals, garlands, scents, ointment, beds, dwelling, lightning and priest, lightning to priest and contemplatives. See that when we are giving, the generosity is there. So, aloba or the non-greed is occurring at that time. So, we are in the path of non-greed as well. So, we are in the good path when we do that.
But how about if somebody repaid after giving?
Well, by the time giving, you got something and you were happy about that one. And then after giving, so you can see that since one would regret that it has that bad effect on that one. But the good effect did not go away.
Mm-hmm.
It is there. So, but you are actually diluting with your own things. Like this another discourse Buddha said, when you are giving, you should give it in a good thought, right? If you are not doing, let's say you are grumpy but you give, then the result is that when you be born, you get children, they don't listen to you. You get servants, they don't listen to you.
That means we all have done that.
It is.
No one listens to you.
given it a grumpy hand, oh, I have to give this, you know, this person this thing or something, yes. So, there is the case where a woman or man is obstinate and arrogant. He, she does not pay homage to those who deserve homage, rise up for those whom one should rise up, give up a seat to those to whom one should give up seat, make way for those for whom one should make way, Worship those who should be worshipped. Respect those who should be respected. Revere those who should be revered. Honor those who should be honored. Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he shall reappear in the plane of deprivation. If instead he shall come to human state, then he shall is low-born, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to the low birth, to be obstinate and arrogant, not to pay homage to those who deserve homage, not to rise up. So, that the low-born is happening because of that.
Low-born means low-caste.
Low-caste, yeah. But then there is the case where a woman or a man is not obstinate or arrogant. He, she pays homage to those who deserve homage. Rise up, gives up a seat, makes way, worships, respects, reveres, honors those who should be honored. Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he, she reappears in a good destination. Instead, he, she comes to human state, then he, she is reborn wherever reborn. This is the way leading to the high birth, not to obstinate or arrogant, to pay homage to those who deserve homage, because you can see that this person is respecting others before, think others are also respecting this person, because what you have done before is actually paying you back. There is the case where a woman or a man, when visiting a priest or contemplative, does not ask, what is skillful, Venerable Sir? What is unskillful? Kusala kusala. What is blameworthy? What is blameless? What should be cultivated? What should not be cultivated? What, having been done by me, will be for my long-term harm and suffering? Or what, having been done by me, will be for my long-term welfare and happiness? Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he shall reappear in the plane of deprivation. If instead he shall come to the human state, then he shall will be stupid, wherever reborn. This is the way leading to stupidity. When visiting priest or contemplating, not to ask what is skillful, not asking those questions, and so not learning Dhamma, in other words. That you see that if we are not getting educated in terms of Dhamma knowledge, what we get the wrong views. And the wrong view is very strong. The wrong view means wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong eightfold path will continue on that one. It's a very bad thing. Buddha said that there are four losses, loss of virtue, loss of view, loss of king, and loss of wealth. Is that mean my relative, someone passed away, or I lost my wealth? Buddha said no one going to hell or animal realm because of the loss of a king or loss of wealth. But the virtue and the view, if you lose the right view and get the wrong view, go to hell.
So virtue is right action, is that the same thing?
Virtue is right, part is right action. And the right speech, refrain from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. So there are four in that one. And then right actions and right livelihood both coming under that. But if you separate it as that's bhavita kaya, that is the developed the body, over there only the right action and right livelihood under the development of the body. And the virtue is that the refrain from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk, that the verbal ones, and also the right effort is included in the virtue part. So this is how to become a dukpanna or not having wisdom. But then there is the case where a woman or a man, when visiting a priest or contemplative, asks, what is skillful, Venerable Sir? What is unskillful? What is blameworthy? What is blameless? What should be cultivated? What should not be cultivated? What, having been done by me, will be for my long-term harm and suffering? Or what, having been done by me, will be for my long-term welfare and happiness? Through having adopted and carried out such actions on the breakup of the body after death, he shall reappear in a good destination. If instead he shall comes to the human state, then he shall is discerning wherever reborn. This is the way leading to discernment. When visiting a priest or contemplative, to ask what is skillful, or what, having been done will be for my long-term welfare and happiness. So to get the wisdom, one should ask questions and, So young man, the way leading to the short life makes people short-lived. The way leading to the long life makes people long-lived. The way leading to the sickliness makes people sickly. The way leading to the health makes people healthy. The way leading to the ugliness makes people ugly. The way leading to the beauty makes people beautiful. The way leading to lack of influence makes people uninfluential. The way leading to the influence makes people influential. The way leading to poverty makes people poor. The way leading to wealth makes people wealthy. The way leading to low birth makes people low born. The way leading to high birth makes people high born. The way leading to stupidity makes people stupid. The way leading to discernment makes people discern. So it's the path, it's the method, path, you know, that one would use. If I'm keep on killing, that means that is my path. And you see, the people who are actually killing others, they have to keep on killing. So kill one, to kill another. So it's become the practice. And again, if you are refraining on those things, you keep on refraining as well.
That is why there's a saying in Sri Lanka, if somebody kills one, there's no problem for killing another.
Another, yeah, it is, yes. Yeah, but once it is gone beyond the mind state, you can keep on doing that one.
Yeah, that habit comes into your mind and you continue with after it has
been. Yeah, because that those painful feelings also persist in his mind. Mm. Because that person who killed those people or whatever, they are angry, upset and sort of thing. And they are in that bad state. So the anger springs up all the time. Having killed, you got the anger to kill. And having killed, you got the anger back. So it repeats itself. And so they are in this bad state. And it's just a simple provoke can be enough. You provoke them, they go and kill others. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not only for killing, actually. See, if you are, even at home or at work, if you are in a bad mood, so if you find something wrong of somebody else or a procedure or whatever, that you can find more and more, you know. And then, but if you are not angry, you don't find.
You are
any
not digging.
Of these things.
Yes. Yeah. If you are angry, you are digging.
Yes.
Digging and finding fault for that, just to harm.
Yeah.
Because we have lived that way. Not may not be this birth. The previous births, we have lived many, many eons like that one. We practice very well, so we know what to do, how to harm. And the plans are there. Just execute one of the plans, that's what we do. The good ones we hear only when Buddha appear in the world. So it's a very short time.
It's hard to really know the exact consequences of something I do. So, for example, if there's a mosquito biting me and I go and kill it, it's hard to know exactly what the consequence will be, isn't it? It depends so much on things which are hard to understand.
Well, there are consequences.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I don't know whether we should sort of try to analyze, because we may go wrong. Normally, if you actually kill big animals, big things, the things are bigger. Small ones seem to be smaller as well. So, that...
The involvement of mind at that time.
Yes, because that if you kill like an elephant, for example, think about it. If you kill an elephant, and people talk about that elephant, right? People will talk about that elephant, the beautiful elephant or the big elephant, the innocent one that this person killed. So he go to the shop or anything, he hear this sort of thing. So again, reminded. But if you kill a mosquito, nobody is reminding you, you kill a mosquito sort of thing. Yeah?
And nobody sees that.
Nobody sees that. No, similarly, father or mother. If you kill father or mother, you see how many times others will blame you. How many times you yourself will blame you? That's the two big thing. So how many times, how much time you are spending on that same action again and again, thinking about it? Mosquitoes, your mind is not going there. Each time you go in there, you are making, you know, the bad karma, right? Because your mind is going down. I kill that one, I keep on killing that one, so I am angry and sort of thing. I'm not killing any mosquitoes or anything like that. So if you are doing it, sort of avoid those things. But you can see the consequences coming, because that if you think about father or mother, if you do that one, keep on coming. Whenever you see some another person, another father or mother look after small one, helping them, well, you get the thought, my father and mother might have look after me, right? But I kill them. So you can see the suffering, immense suffering over there. That's why going to that Avicii, burning thing. You are burning while here, you are burning over there as well. Because you can't get out. It's really bad.
And again, if you think about if you admire things or people, I mean living beings, different people or different beings in different way, that who could that be? Mosquito or an ant, you know?
Would have been my relative, my father, my mother.
That's right.
You know, one of those previous births. Buddha said that...
That is the way we can get rid of those things. But the thing is now, as we always, mindfully or unmindfully, we just hit. That is our practice.
Right? But after, if you actually give it up...
It doesn't...
No, that is the practice now. Mm. The way we have to follow, that means get out of that practice is by contemplating or thinking about this is another life and something like
that. If you think that I would have been that mosquito in the previous birth, would I like to be killed? If you think it that way, oh no, your hand won't come at all.
And again, because you believe on these consequences, because the Lord Buddha has seen it and then said not to do that, isn't it? Not to stay away from these things.
And
because of that, even though I have been doing that for years, but I don't do now because I know there is a consequence, even though I don't know what it would be, but I know that you would get that.
You get that.
So because of that, I want that.
Yeah. And then the meditation, you can't do the meditation when you do killing and sort of thing. If you check the Eightfold Path, as soon as you go through, I did that bad thing, you are not going to come back to the Eightfold Path unless you take a decision that I will not do that one again. You cannot come. You cannot make progress. There's no way. You can't pass through the virtue path, because the Eightfold Path, and go to a proper concentration. Always you get one of those things, what is called Uddacha Kukkucha, restlessness and worry. And that one trapped around like a mouse trap for you. You won't be able to come out.
And again, not only killing thing actually, because if you say I used to do and say things to people that would hurt them, so you keep on, you remember it all the time.
Now there is something when you say to hurt them, if it is the purpose is to correct them, making go in good direction, correct direction, Buddha said it is nothing.
But still it comes, because if you see that person is upset, even though you do the right things,
Buddha said even the tears are pouring from that one, does not matter.
But because you are suffering at that time.
Well, Buddha said that you got to have the compassion for that person. You do that one out of compassion only. If you do out of compassion, there's no problem.
So actually you could have the opposite problem, where because you don't want to hurt someone, you tell things which are not true. So the white lie, and that's probably worse.
That's worse, because the other person won't get developed. But if you tell this one, after some day, that person will appreciate what you have done. And it is sort of why you are actually getting upset about it, because you are actually not having the proper compassion for that one. Buddha said that tell that person with the compassion in mind not to harm that person. It's only to develop that person and getting into the right thing. So if someone is doing that, Buddha said that one for many monks. In the last week also, right? Many monks, that Moga Purusa. That's what Buddha said. And even there is another discourse where there was a monk, he preached this Tripitaka, he can remember Tripitaka and he's a teacher. And there were many arahants. He's not an arahant. So he's coming to the Buddha and worship. And when he worshipped, Buddha said that... So like that, you know, that the... as a useless fellow or something, some wording like that one, you know, go and come, you know, something like that one. And so it happened 3 times, and then he was thinking, why Buddha said to me, this one to me, because I have that many, you know, students who are, you know, sort of thing. And then he realized that I am not an arahant, and then he gave up students and try to become an arahant.
And again, it applies to the general human life too, that if somebody tries to tell something and if you don't accept that, if something goes wrong, or if you don't accept that, you don't see that where the development is. If you accept that and admit that I can't do this or that, and then try to do that, only you can develop, isn't it?
Oh, that person is harming themselves by not, you know, adhering to this whatever thing it is, that if somebody says that for the development, if it is for really for development, and so it's nothing. It's trifling, that's what Buddha said.
With right speech, if I tell a lie, even if it seems harmless, you know, at first lie.
Lie is not harmless.
Well, that's it. Even if it seems harmless, it can't be.
It is harmful. All the time it is harmful. Lie lead to the lobha, greed. So you are traveling through the wrong eightfold path. So it's really harmful. Buddha said, if someone is lying, there is no evil thing that he cannot do. It is that bad. So lie has to be avoided in all cost.
And again, if it is not a lie, it's a frivolous talk, isn't it? It goes,
so frivolous talks is leading to moha, the delusion. You know, if you talk rubbish, you know, because you like to keep on talking rubbish, that about the king or queen or the armies and those planes and all those things, then that means that you are, because you don't have the knowledge, that's why one would actually talking about those things, right? So mind goes in that way, and then again the wrong eightfold path. So virtue, respect that virtue very well, very careful about the virtue. It's a very, very important thing. If you have the virtue, if you have the right view and then the right thought, and this virtue path is there, you're straight away going to the concentration. Your barrier is actually not having this virtue. Very, very important to have the virtue. Because that I see these things more and more now with the Eightfold Path meditation. With the Eightfold Path, we have the right view, right? So with the right view, that you understand this suffering, birth is suffering, aging is suffering sort of thing. And then you have the thought of renunciation. So because of the second noble truth is that because of the craving that these things come to arise. So the Eightfold Path, second one is the right thought. So thought of renunciation break into 3 parts. The first one is that the right thought is divided into 3 parts. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-harming, thought of non-malevolence. So thought of renunciation is that you are leading to the alobha or the non-greed path. And thought of non-malevolence is going to adosa or non-hatred path. And thought of non-harming lead to amoha or the non-delusion, wisdom path. So it is going through these 3 paths. So what is in front of is, let's say I am a person, I want to go in the Eightfold Path. I'm going to go through the right view, and then I want to arrive at the right thought. Let's say I got the right thought, I want to continue. So when I'm continuing, where am I continuing? I'm continuing on the non-greed, non-aversion, and then the non-delusion path. So what is in front of me, I have to remove them, this path. So what I get in front of me, if I am actually lying, the lying lead to the greed, right? But I am in a path where I am traveling through the non-greed path. But if I do lie, then the greed will occur. Greed will arise with me. So I am removing that one from my path. It's like a cleaning the path. So I'm refraining from lying. If I kill, then means I get the anger, hatred path, right? So I don't want to have that hatred because I am in an unhatred path, like loving kindness sort of thing. So whatever thing stopping me from going forward, I will remove. So I refrain from killing. So you can see the right view, right thought, right speech, straight under that right thought. You can't continue in that one because otherwise you have the right thought maintained for a moment. You can't continue in that path. So if you see that I'm not killing, I'm not stealing, I'm not doing sexual misconduct, those things. I have right livelihood. I'm not lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks, those are things are not there. Very smooth. These three paths continue in balanced way. It got to be balanced as well. If you say I want to have the thought of renunciation. So apart from the sensual pleasures, I'm going in the non-greed path, but I'm not doing the other two, let's say I'm angry sort of thing. It won't balance because you are trying to go in the one path, good path, the other two will come and play its part. So therefore you can't lead to the concentration. Got to be balanced as well. So you really need right speech, that is, refrain from lying. Lying will lead to the greed, right? Refrain from harsh speech and frivolous talks. Those lead to hatred. So I don't want to have the hatred. So I'm in a path not leading to the hatred. So therefore I'm refraining from those things. And if I have the harming, then it leads to delusion, ignorance. So I don't want that one. I'm on the good path. So therefore I'm not harming anybody either. So these three has to be balanced. If it is not balanced, then it's like a vehicle that is, one is working, the other one is not working, right? And cannot have. So those four, regarding the verbal actions, should be there. And then the killing, stealing, sexual misconduct should be there. Because again, they are split into other three. Killing is actually the second one, that the hatred one. The stealing is in the greed path, so I don't want that one. Sexual misconduct has got two paths. It is the greed as well as the moha, that the delusion. So you are removing those two as well. So this path will balance, and then you have the right livelihood. If you have the right livelihood, smoothly going to right effort. And what you end up with, the right concentration, with all those seven factors. And there it is, your lucky day if you have that one, in all aligned. So that's how one would attain, by having the right concentration with all those seven factors. So whatever thing Buddha said in the Eightfold Path, abide by, give up anything for that, because it's really valuable.
This reading newspapers and listening to news and all sort of things is included in slander nowadays, I think.
Yes.
Because a lot of all the news and all sort of things talking about king or the prime minister, the killing, whatever things, and all sort of thing. And
maybe, well, if there was anything good about that person, right? Lest there are kings in the Buddha's time also. There were kings, right? And when the king is ruling the country in a good manner, and it is being heard in the divine verse, they are also talking about that, those people. But nowadays what you see is all bad, right? So what do you get? You get the anger. So you are actually taking something. Yeah, if you are reading news, be careful just to get the note about those people. Just, you know,
whatever
valuable thing that you have to take. I mean, if you can give up reading, would be those things would be really good, because that it will be helpful. I mean, as soon as you read, you see, because the biggest one is either something to do with the sensuality or something to do with the anger. You know, there's nothing in these days valuable.
A lot of anger.
And again, if one wants to attain nirvana and go in that path, wouldn't worry about these things, because
they don't have to read.
Yeah,
they can read these books.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the reading those things mean that you are still like us. I mean, we all. That if we are reading everyday news and you want to know what is happening around the world and all these things, are for the sensual pleasure, because gaining that knowledge, you feel good about you.
Mm.
That means you are attached to yourself.
Mm. Frivolous talks are actually really bad. Mm. You don't realize this on how harmful to the meditation it is. When I went to the Eightfold Path meditation, when the first time, when I was doing it, I really realized it. I realized it that the what was not allowing me to concentrate was the frivolous talks I had before.
So frivolous talk is listening to frivolous talk too, isn't it?
Like, you know, listening or talking,
yeah.
Any of those things. Because
so if you say nothing, you're still engaging in frivolous talk.
If you say,
you're just watching television, you say, and they're being frivolous for... all day, and you're sitting there all day watching them being frivolous.
This
is frivolous talk.
Well, the thing is that you are actually wasting your time over there. Since if you haven't done the frivolous talks, then there is some positive things in you at that time helping you in the meditation. If you have done it, it is the biggest thing. If you have heard, it is less. Right? But still, whatever thing that you heard, it is rambling in your mind. And why would you have those junk, you know, coming into your mind and analyzing it in the meditation time? Use it for some good purpose. Switch off the TV.
It's like similar that, like, if you don't look at somebody dancing, you wouldn't think to dance.
Right.
But once you look at somebody dancing, you feel like to dance, because that's how you...
That's how we trained our mind before.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have done it before, and those things are coming up. So, yeah, I think. Seek delight, welcome, sit and remain holy.
If you see something, I can apply. But for example, like we go to work, right? So we work 8 hours for this particular amount of money. And that sort of situation. There is abhinandati there.
We are going to work to get money.
To live, right? But even that sort of a scenario, there is abhinandati.
Of course, because you are going there for sensual pleasures.
That's right.
You because you want to have your living and all sort of thing, right? That now there is a limit over here where you can actually go. You can go up to bare bone level that I only want to eat. That's all. So that's fine. Just to maintain the body, right?
Mm.
But we are earning beyond that. Not to eat.
Mm.
You know, I eat this way, I go in this type of car and I get down in this type of table and I eat. That's what we are saying here.
Yeah. So my question was, like, say, during the meditation, like dukkha nirodha.
Cessation.
So there we will be thinking, okay, there are five senses. So I try and not abhinandati, right? And then suddenly this came to my mind, okay, so that's fine. If I see something, I can refrain from abhinandati.
Yeah, as...
But this sort of situation where I had to eat, I had to pay bills, I had to...
As I said before, don't fight with those things in the meditation time. You can fight later on. In the meditation time, don't think that I should give up this one, I should not be going to work, and sort of you are wasting your time in the meditation. It's a valuable time at that time. At that time, you should try to go through the Eightfold Path, nothing else, in the meditation. and you try to see as an observer, well, I go to work, I am earning this money because I have this craving, so the craving persists in me. So others are also doing the same thing. They also have the same thing. I am suffering because of this, others are suffering because of this. So you are applying this one, and you are an observer looking at you, yourself and the others. And then you try to understand, go into the concentration, and then you see this one properly, further and further, and you can see, I am suffering today, I have been suffering before, and birth to birth I have been doing the same thing. And what's the value of this? So that is the understanding you are going to get with this thing. It is like that you analyzing the suffering in threefold way. For example, that this course that I am going through has got this, I'm clinging to that one, and therefore there is this upadsangata lakkhana, that the constructed characteristic of arising, therefore that I have the viparinama dukkata, painfulness and change. So you see those characteristics with the concentration. First you actually look at the real case, you are not fighting with it, you apply, you generalize it to all the others, and then you can actually see the actuality into that level. Otherwise, you are just finding, so what should I do? Should I stop the job? If I stop the job, children can't eat, they can't go to, no, this is, so you are coming back to that one. Don't even think about those things at the meditation time.
But isn't it helpful when you do the Satra Satipatthana, that Kāyagata Sati, that meditation thing, and then you develop, you can develop a lot in the wisdom during that time, and then you can see part of that actually what we are doing day to day. Is not worth.
That's
worthless.
That's what is valuable.
And, yeah. Then when you go to that, if you develop to those levels and then you go to Arastanka Marga, it's easier because you have developed that wisdom and actually at least partly to see that this is impermanent. I mean, this is no use of worried about.
It is the mindfulness you are talking about. So mindfulness come, how do you arrive at the mindfulness is from the Eightfold Path. Unless there is a right view, right thought sort of thing, you know, that mindfulness is not strong enough over there. So you first have the mindfulness by going through the meditation, and then you apply the package, right view, right thought sort of thing. They align very well. And it supports each other, and then concentrate. I think probably we stop for today, I think.